Today's text comes from Acts chapter 1 verses 12 through 26. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man hired a field with a reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, all his bowels gushed out, and it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Al-Kedama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. For 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, and before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the disciples and followers of Jesus gathered in Jerusalem's upper room and prayed together, as Jesus had instructed them. They also prepared to elect a new apostle to replace Judas Iscariot, in readiness for their role as witnesses of Jesus. Last week, we focused on prayer, and today we'll focus on the election of a new apostle in today's passage. At that time, approximately 120 members of the early church gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem to pray. Peter then stood up and preached that a new apostle should be chosen to replace Judas Iscariot. Acts chapter 1, verse 15, verses 21 and 22. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." Verses 21 and 22 form one long sentence, and the nuances are not well expressed in the Korean Bible. In the original language, the Greek word "they" is used. In English, it means should, ought to, or it is necessary. Therefore, "they" implies it is necessary to choose one. We should choose one. We ought to choose one. In other words, Peter was not just suggesting that it is good to elect a new apostle. He was saying that it must be done. So why is Peter saying that it is necessary to select a new apostle to replace Judas Iscariot? All the members of the congregation should pray with the same heart and without any objection to this and elect a new apostle. What is the basis for making this decision unanimously? Peter brings the word of God, saying that a new apostle must be elected to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. The Old Testament foretold Judas's betrayal of Jesus, his death, and the need for a new apostle to replace him. Peter quotes the Psalms to testify about Judas Iscariot, stating that Judas betrayed Jesus, died, and that a new apostle should take his place. Acts chapter 1 verses 16 through 20. Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with a reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Al-Kedema, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. Peter proclaimed Judas Iscariot's betrayal and the need to elect a new apostle to replace him by quoting passages from the Psalms. Psalm 41 verse 9. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. First of all, this psalm was written by David. Jesus said that this psalm thought about himself and prophesied that he would be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, one of his close disciples. John chapter 13 verse 18. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. During the Last Supper, Jesus quoted a psalm to say that Judas Iscariot, who ate the bread Jesus gave him, would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And this prophecy was fulfilled. Additionally, Peter quoted two other psalms written by David and interpreted them as referring to Judas who betrayed Jesus. In the first part of verse 20 of today's text, it says, May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. Peter interpreted this verse as pertaining to Judas's death, which is the word from Psalm 69. Psalm chapter 69 verses 24 and 25. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation, let no one dwell in their tents. In Psalm 69, David cried out to God in his suffering and confessed. This psalm also speaks about the suffering of the future Messiah, foretelling Jesus' experience. For example, verse 4 describes the Messiah being hated for no reason, and verse 9 portrays his zeal for the Lord's house. In John chapter 2 verse 17, Jesus references this verse in connection to his own death. Zeal for the house of the Lord will consume me. In verses 24 and 25, David prays for judgment to come upon those who hate and oppose the Messiah. In verse 25, he says, Let their camp be desolate, and let no one dwell in it. This prophecy was fulfilled in Judas Iscariot, as explained in verses 18 and 19 of today's text. In our Bible, these verses are in parentheses because it is unclear whether they were included in the original text. Some commentaries suggest that these verses were added by Luke to explain Peter's quote of Psalms in verse 20. Acts chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. Now this man acquired a field with a reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Al-Kedema, that is, field of blood. These words about Judas's death can be examined in connection with the gospel. Matthew chapter 27 verses 5 through 8. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called a field of blood to this day. J. Today's text and the Gospel of Matthew seem to have some differences in the death of Judas, but they are not different. They show us more details together. That is, after Judas betrayed Jesus, he hanged himself and died, but his body fell down and his internal organs burst out. With the 30 pieces of silver he received for betraying Jesus, people bought a field, but it was called a field of blood. And no one came to visit it, so it became desolate, and no one lived there. In this way, the words about Judas's death were fulfilled. Finally, in the latter part of verse 20, he quotes a verse from Psalms, and he said, "Let another take his office," and says that after Judas's death, his apostleship must be filled by someone else. This is a verse from Psalm 109. Psalm 109, verses 4 through 8. "In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. So they reward me evil for good, and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man against them. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another take his office." David accuses his enemy and prays that God will judge him and give his position to someone else. Peter says that this psalm is fulfilled in Jesus and that God's judgment will come on Judas, who opposed Jesus. He also says that Judas's apostleship will be taken by a new apostle. In this way, all the saints pray with one heart to fulfill God's will and appoint a new apostle, according to Peter's words. An important thing that we must realize once again in today's text that Peter delivered is the principle of the interpretation of the Bible. Peter interprets the psalm centered on Jesus according to the principle of Jesus' interpretation of the Bible. John chapter 5, verse 39. "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45. "Then he said to them, 'These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." Jesus opened the hearts of his disciples and opened the Bible to them, saying that all the Old Testament scriptures point to and testify about himself. This also included the Psalms. Peter also preached about the Psalms with Jesus at the center, following the principle that Jesus used to interpret the Bible. Psalms 41, 69, and 109, quoted in today's text, are all psalms that David confessed during his suffering, but they were all fulfilled in Jesus. David was chosen to take part in Jesus' life and testify about him before Jesus arrived. He foreshadowed Jesus by going through similar suffering and betrayal in his own life. Therefore, David's confession becomes Jesus' confession. This is true for all the scriptures. They all testify about Jesus and point to him. Even though the authors wrote the Bible based on their own experiences and backgrounds, God was with them, inspiring them so that it may become the Word of God that testify about Jesus. In verse 16 of today's text, Peter says that the Psalm of David he quoted was, "The Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David." Therefore, it's not only David's confession, but also the Word of God and the confession of Jesus. Consequently, the entire Bible must be interpreted as the Word of God that testifies about Jesus. Ultimately, in today's passage, the saints who have come to understand God's will through the Bible pray together to fulfill God's Word and choose a new apostle. The selection of a new apostle by the church and the filling of the 12 apostles according to the Word of God hold great significance in redemptive history. Jesus continued to raise the first 12 disciples. When he began his public ministry, He proclaimed the arrival of the kingdom of heaven and selected the first 12 disciples to be his followers. Why did he do this? Just as in the Old Testament, the kingdom of Israel was established on the 12 tribes descended from the sons of Jacob, whom God had chosen, the eternal kingdom of God and the church that bore witness to it are now founded on the 12 apostles chosen by Jesus. Jesus also spoke about this. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now the old covenant, represented by the 12 tribes, has come to an end, and the new covenant, represented by the 12 apostles, has begun. A new apostle was chosen to replace Judas Iscariot to fulfill the 12 apostles and prepare for the era of the new covenant, the era of the church. However, after the new apostle was appointed to replace Judas Iscariot and the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, there were no more appointments to fill the 12 apostles. Shortly after the coming of the Holly Spirit, James, the brother of John, and one of the 12 apostles was martyred. That time, no new apostle was chosen. Instead, the church became even bolder in its ministry as a witness to Jesus because of the martyrdom of this apostle. Acts 12 verses 1 through 3. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. When the apostle Paul was called, he was not appointed to fill the 12 apostles. Jesus appointed him separately to bear witness to Jesus among the Gentiles and gave him the same authority as the apostles. After the early church, no more apostles were appointed, marking the end of the apostolic era. God then appointed officers, such as pastors, elders, and deacons, to replace the apostles. Now, all saints serve together using the grace and gifts they have received to build a church. It is clear from the criteria for selecting new apostles in today's text that the office of the apostle was temporary in the history of salvation. Acts chapter 1 verses 21 and 22. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. The criteria for selecting a new apostle to be included in the 12 apostles were those who walked with Jesus and witnessed his resurrection, and Matthias was elected among them as the one. Therefore, after that time, no more apostles can be chosen. After that, Christ builds the church with the offices of pastor, elder, and deacon. Just as the apostle was chosen in today's text, the church must continue to appoint new officers. This is necessary because it is the will of the Lord. But here is something we must remember. Look at the 12 apostles Jesus established in his church. Were they perfect apostles? Above all, there was a false apostle like Judas Iscariot. He was a false believer and was eventually excommunicated and put to death. Was Jesus' church a failure? Didn't Jesus know this? Did Jesus' church have to end here? No, but he still tells his people to build his church. Jesus tells us that this is the reality of the visible church on this earth. Nevertheless, Jesus continues to build his church through us. Here we can see another important criterion for selecting apostles. It seems like people elect and establish them, but Jesus himself elects and establishes them. Acts chapter 1 verse 2. Until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. In today's text, the saints prayed together and cast lots to choose the apostles. This means that Jesus himself chose them. Please consider the prayers of the saints before selecting the apostles. Acts chapter 1 verses 24 through 26. And they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. They prayed to determine whom the Lord had chosen as an apostle. And then they cast lots to appoint Matthias as one of the 12 apostles. Don't you recall the words of the Old Testament? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. This method of using the casting of lots was no longer used after the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost. From that point on, the saints who were filled with the Holy Spirit directly elected officers. In Acts 6, we can see that when deacons were elected, the congregation prayed and elected them directly. This demonstrates that Jesus chooses and establishes his officers. And that's why we need to pray first. We must pray with one heart according to the Word of God and elect officers as Jesus chose them. We also need to pray and let Jesus take charge of all other church ministries and work in our lives. This is the life of Christians because Jesus works through us now. The stage is set for the arrival of the Holy Spirit following the election of a new apostle. Once the Holy Spirit descends, the Church of Jesus will be established upon the foundation of the 12 apostles, and the saints will fulfill their role as witnesses of Jesus to the ends of the earth, as promised by Christ. Here, we need to consider what is happening. Does it seem like the church is preparing for war? Just as in the Old Testament with Joshua as the commander, the 12 tribes of Israel enter the land of Canaan, fought, conquered Canaan, and established the kingdom of God. Now, with Jesus as our commander, the 12 apostles and the saints of the church engage in spiritual warfare and work to establish the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a war that Jesus has already won, and we are involved because we are united with him. We pray, raise up officer, and through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit in our church, we become witnesses of Jesus, testify about him, fight the spiritual war with faith, and work to build the Lord's kingdom. For whom does Jesus call to engage this spiritual war and to help build his kingdom? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you are wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Please remember these words. This is the principle by which the Lord builds up the church. Even the most humble and lowly people who have nothing to boast about physically or in worldly terms are called by Jesus to build his church. Look at the disciples of Jesus. They were all lowly and uneducated fishermen and tax collectors, some of whom were full of doubts. When Jesus was going to the cross, Peter denied him, and the rest of the disciples abandoned him and ran away. But Jesus calls these people as apostles and builds his church. How can he do that? He restored them to repent and hold on to his grace. After the resurrection, Jesus forgave and restored Peter, giving him the call to feed his sheep. He entrusts the gospel ministry of repentance and forgiveness to those who repent and are forgiven by the grace of Jesus. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, may all of you be strengthened by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that Theophilus and all of us will live as witnesses of Jesus and fight the good fight of faith.